And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Lizzie and the Whiskers, was written by Morton Wishengrad and is dedicated to the current Red Cross campaign.
When the wind blew in from the East River, the tenements seemed to huddle together for warmth and protection. The year was 1877, and the street was a slum in New York's East Side. The pattern was already fixed. Bedclothes airing in the windows, the sound of a tuberculous cough, a dark hallway, and the sour smell of garbage. Streets spilling over with dray horses, carts, sidewalk merchants, and the clamor of children at play.
Hey, Ma, throw me down a piece of free blood!
The streets were the playground of the children, but not the playground of Lizzie Hyland. Lizzie did not venture outdoors. She pressed her nose to the window and watched the children at play.
You still at that window?
Yes, Ma.
Why don't you go out and play, same as all the other children?
I'd like it here, Ma.
You're in the way. I gotta clean the house.
I'll help you.
I don't need help to clean three rooms. Go on out and get some fresh air. Lizzie Hyland, I'm talking to you.
I'll play in here.
I'm your mother. Do as I say. Now, what are you crying about? Somebody'd think I was taking a strap to you. Go on out in the street and jump rope.
I'll jump rope here.
There ain't no fresh air in here.
I'll open a window.
Lizzie, you can't go through life being scared of the other kids. Don't cry. I said don't cry.
Don't yell at me,
Mama. I'm not yelling at you, you little fool. I'm yelling at myself. It's my fault. You don't have to go outside. You can jump up here, little old man. Show the yells from downstairs. Wipe your nose. Where'd you learn that from?
Nobody.
You mean you made it up?
It was in Pa's newspaper. I mean, the story of how it happened.
You're a funny kid. What else did you make up?
President, Rutherford Hayes grew a beard in 28 days. You want to hear another jumping poem?
I guess I got it whether I wanted or not.
Boss Billy Tweed skipped out of jail. They put him back without any bail.
Lizzie, why should a girl as nice as you and as good in school as you be ashamed in front of other kids? Lizzie, why?
Don't talk about it, Mom.
I'll make you another wide pocket in your skirt, wider than the last one. You can hold your hand there. Nobody will see.
They pull my hand out.
I'll make you nice cotton gloves. You can wear gloves all the time.
They don't have to wear gloves.
Baby, you can't curse yourself all through your life.
Please let me jump rope.
You couldn't help it. You were born that way.
I'm not blaming you.
I can't bear to see you spend your life in this dark house. It ain't natural. It ain't normal.
No, Ma, but neither am I.
Lizzie, Lizzie, stop punishing yourself.
The year was 1877. A dark year for a little girl named Lizzie Highland. A little girl who kept her right hand hidden in a pocket in her skirt, who wore her skirts long so that they concealed her feet. She pressed her nose to a tenement window and saw the world outside and saw no place for herself in it. It was a sickness, not in her hand, nor in the feet she hid with her long skirt. The sickness was in her soul. School was a place of terror. There was no ease for Lizzie Highland there. No safety.
Girls, it's time for sewing now. Everyone, please. Your work in your left hand. Needles in your right hand. Raise needles high. Lizzie Highland.
Yes, ma'am?
Your needle in your right hand.
I hold it in my left hand.
Are you left-handed?
No, ma'am.
Then you'll sew in the normal way with your right hand. Your right hand, Lizzie. Hold it high.
Please, ma'am. I don't feel good.
Grammar, Lizzie. Watch your grammar.
Please, ma'am. I don't feel well.
Very well, Lizzie. You may sit in your seat and rest for the balance of the sewing lesson.
Little things, all of them. But each hour added its own crisis to Lizzie Highland. A small human being with no defenses against the daily bruises of life. Her body seemed always ready to recoil from aggression, and the fright rarely left her face, a face which seldom contained the flush of color. They tried to be kind. They were good people.
Your compositions are excellent, Lizzie. Keep up the good work.
She knew they were trying to be kind. That only made it worse. The worst time was always after school. When she'd gone home with the other children, she fled before them as before a terror.
Hey, Lizzie, wait for me!
Hello, Tommy.
Lizzie, after school, the kids are going down to the park in First Avenue. You can come.
I don't know if I can.
We're going to go to the horse fountain. Gonna take our shoes off and go wading. We're gonna... What's the matter?
Said that on purpose.
What you talking about?
Nobody's going waiting. Said that about taking shoes off on purpose. Why don't you let me alone?
You must be crazy.
It's a joke. It's a wonderful joke.
Now say, come on, Lizzie, let's shake hands. Or come on, Lizzie. How much is 5 and 6? Count it on your fingers.
All right, here's my hand. Here are my fingers. Go on, count them. Go on.
I didn't mean anything. I swear I didn't. Don't shiver like that. Lizzie, don't shiver like that.
Hey, kid, quit bothering the girl.
I'm not bothering her.
You sick, little girl?
I feel cold.
Where do you live? I'll take you home.
It's on my block. I'll show you where.
Come on, then. Something the matter with your foot?
My foot?
It's dragging. Just a minute, little girl. You don't have to walk. Come on, I'll carry you home.
Mrs. Schulte, give me an egg. Now, just watch this, Lizzie. Egg beaten up in a glass of milk. She says it'll make you feel real good.
That's bad grammar, Ma.
Well, just so long as it's a good egg. What happened in school today?
Nothing.
I was just asking. If you don't want to talk, it's all right. Stop twitching like that. It makes me nervous. Stop that twitching.
I can't help it.
Then go in another room. Get out of the kitchen.
All right, Ma.
And pick up your feet. You don't have to drag your foot like that.
I'm not dragging my foot.
I tell you, you're dragging your foot. Pick it up. Walk like a young lady. Stop twitching. You're twitching and fidgeting all over.
I can't help it. I can't help it. I'm scared. Ma, help me make it stop.
No, she couldn't make it stop. It was as though the muscles of her body had suddenly gone crazy. There was only one thing to do. On the east side of New York, then, even as now, when calamity befell the poor, there was Bellevue, the hospital. In the year 1877, a boy named Tommy ran for help. The wonderful horses of the Bellevue ambulance wagon sped down First Avenue, and the wagon carried the frail young body of Lizzie Hyland, frail and twitching, as though her muscles had gone crazy.
The mother of the little girl just brought into the ward?
Yes, doctor.
Oh, you needn't get up. Please, sit down.
Yes, doctor. Thank you. My name is Mrs. Hyland.
Now, you'll be able to come and visit her on Sunday.
Yes, doctor.
If there's anything you'd like to bring, soup or something she's specially fond of, it'll be all right.
Yes, doctor.
You're frightened, aren't you?
Yes, I'm frightened. What is it?
Well, I'm not quite sure.
My husband's a workman. Is it expensive here?
Mrs. Hyland, this is Bellevue. It doesn't cost anything.
You'll help her.
If we can.
Then it's bad.
I think it's something called St. Vitus dance. Doctors call it chorea. That's the medical name. Maybe someday doctors will know more about it.
Well, work ain't so steady now for my husband, but you go and get the biggest doctor for Lizzie. Somehow we'll pay him.
I told you, Mrs. Hyland, there's no pay.
I want the biggest for Lizzie, the biggest there is.
Mrs. Hyland, that would be Dr. Jacoby. And he's on the ward in the morning. Dr. Abraham Jacoby.
It was a Bellevue story. Almost from the year 1658, the first year of one of America's oldest hospitals, there always seemed to be a doctor whose name was pronounced with a special inflection of respect. And in the last quarter of the 19th century, a political refugee from Germany had come to New York. A short man, slight, with a massive head and hair that curled like the mane of a lion. He was a medical genius, a genius with an instinct for children. The man who, in the next century, would be called the father of American pediatrics. But Lizzie Hyland's mother could not know this. So the next morning, she had to come to make sure, to see for herself.
I'm ready for the next patient.
I'm not a nurse. I'm Mrs. Hyland.
This formality is unnecessary. Just tell them I'm ready for the next patient.
But you don't know who I am.
Madam, must you talk so much? Please tell them that
Dr. Jacoby, there's a little girl outside in the ward. Her name is Lizzie Hyland. She has...
Well, come name it. I'm busy this morning.
St. Vitus dance.
Your diagnosis?
No, the doctor who examined her when they brought her in.
Take me to her, nurse.
I'm not a nurse. I'm Lizzie's mother.
We don't stand on ceremony, madam. Bellevue is mighty shorthanded these days. Let's take a look at the girl.
His name was Abraham Jacoby. Doctor. A little man, but nevertheless a giant. His voice could be brusque, his manner testy, but the hands he placed on the convulsive limbs of Lizzie Hyland were inquiring and gentle.
Good morning, Lizzie. How do you feel?
She wasn't able to tell him. The words were locked in her throat.
Don't be frightened. You're safe here.
She wanted to believe him. She wanted to feel safe somewhere. His voice was gentle with her. It was a surprise, because his lion's mane and his whiskers made him look ferocious.
If you look at my whiskers like that, I'm going to have to shave them off. I'm fond of my whiskers.
Lizzie Hyland smiled. For the first time, Lizzie smiled.
You know something, child? The moment you smile, your face stopped twitching. Makes you feel better to smile, doesn't it?
Yes.
Do you think if I made you laugh, your arms and legs might stop jerking for a few seconds?
Maybe.
You're a very cooperative patient. Now, you try to relax as best you can. I'm just going to touch you with my hands. Are you cold?
No.
I thought you might be. You're sleeping in your shoes.
I didn't let them take my shoes. No one's going to take my shoes off. No one.
Of course not. Well, suppose we count your pulse. May I have your hand, Lizzie?
No. I don't want you to.
I nearly want to count your pulse.
It's a lie.
Yes, sometimes it catches in the throat. Don't try to talk. You can keep your shoes on all you like. And I don't have to count your pulse. It's not terribly important. Mrs. Hyland, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Jacoby.
You've got a fine girl.
Yes, doctor.
I'm sure she'd like some clothes from home. Now come outside with me. I'll tell you what you can bring her. Follow me, Mrs. Hyland. Mrs. Hyland, we can do very little about St. Vitus Dance. We administer arsenic and hope. Mostly hope. That's because we know very little about the disease itself. Just that it happens to young children around Lizzie's age.
I can't bear to see it that way, her face twisted like that.
Then you've got to help me.
Anything, doctor.
Mrs. Hyland, why did Lizzie refuse to let me count her pulse?
On account of her hand.
Yes?
She was born with 6 fingers on her right hand.
So. And why does she insist on wearing her shoes?
She's got extra toes on each foot. Lizzie's a freak.
That's absurd. Things like that happen.
It was because I was frightened just before she was born. The midwife told me so.
No, Mrs. Hyland, that's superstition. Lizzie has suffered a good deal, hasn't she?
Well, we've had to move from place to place. Sometimes she comes home from school not saying anything. But inside, she's screaming. God help her and God help me, but when I see her like that, it makes me want to kill myself.
You're a good mother.
I don't know nothing.
You know a good deal. You know enough to love her.
I ain't helped you.
You're wrong, Mrs. Hyland. You have helped. You'll see.
He was a doctor. He treated the hurt where the hurt was deepest. And if the hurt and the wound lay deep in a little girl's soul, he had to treat the soul of Lizzie Hyland.
Good morning, Lizzie.
Hello.
Not much to look at, is she?
No.
Just a poor, beat-up doll. Tell you a secret, that's the way I like them. I can't stand a doll that's got no cracks in her. Now take Miriam. Miriam has lived herself a full life. She's got character.
What do you want, Dr. Jacoby?
Nothing, Lizzie.
What did you come for?
To pass the time.
Why?
I just told you. I like dolls with cracks in them. I'll leave Miriam. I hope you like her, Lizzie.
Dr. Jacoby, may I speak to you a moment?
What is it, nurse?
That Highland girl.
Lizzie, what about her?
The girl has to be bathed. She won't let us touch her. She allows no one but her mother to bathe her.
Well, then leave her to her mother.
But the rules of the ward
are... The rules of the ward are for the patient to get well.
She won't even let me touch her.
Then I suggest that you don't touch her. That you don't even try, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
Anything else?
No, doctor.
Pretty angry, aren't you?
Yes, I am, Dr. Jacoby. Wouldn't you be?
Possibly. I'll speak to Lizzie myself. I brought you an apple.
She told you.
Mighty fine apple.
I won't let you touch me either.
Come from a farm way uptown in Harlem. I brought one for myself. That's what I call a luscious looking apple.
Why don't you eat it then?
Can't.
Toothache?
delicacy.
You're making fun of me.
I can't eat an apple alone. I'll eat mine if you eat yours.
You came here because the nurse said... Why can't you eat your apple?
Self-consciousness, madam. Listen. Makes me self-conscious. Now, if you bite into your apple, I can eat mine without feeling silly. Take a bite, Lizzie.
What do you want from me?
You're too young for suspicion, Lizzie. Eat your apple.
Yes, doctor.
A man with a lion's head and ferocious whiskers, and a young girl with twitching limbs eating their apples. A small incident in a Bellevue ward 75 years ago. He was a strange doctor. He brought her gifts. A doll with a chipped face. An apple. A book. A flower. He was a patient man. The doctors in the ward raised their eyebrows.
You haven't examined Lizzie, Dr. Jacoby.
Plenty of time, Doctor.
Forgive me, sir, but...
What in heaven's name am I doing?
Yes, sir.
I'm paying court.
What, sir?
I'm asking for Lizzie's hand. You can't rush such things nowadays. It's 1877. Times have changed. Have patience. I have patience. I'll see Lizzie tomorrow. Your face is dirty.
Your face is dirty, too.
That's because of the whiskers. Very handsome, don't you think?
No.
Don't change your mind. Wait till you know me better. Isn't it good to laugh?
Yes, it is.
Since I've come to America, I always laugh.
Didn't you laugh in...
In Germany? I'll tell you a secret. They threw me into prison in Germany.
You must have insulted someone.
Naturally. I insulted the Kaiser. I said America was better. America, I said. Kein König dort. No king in America. 3 years in prison.
That's why you didn't laugh.
That's why. But in America, I laugh. Look, outside. That's New York City. And New York City is just a small part of New York State, which is only a small part of the United States of America. And a small citizen named Lizzie Highland is needed by the United States. Frightened people don't make good citizens.
I try not to be frightened.
You hide from the other children, don't you?
Mama's told you.
Yes, but she didn't have to tell me. I knew.
She's told you about my...
Yes.
I'm unnatural.
No one is unnatural.
I'm a monster.
Your eyes are gray. Your face is very pale. Your chin has a little cleft in it. I'd hardly call that monstrous.
You want me to show you my hand?
No, Lizzie. I don't want it.
Then, I want to show you my hand. Because I want it.
Thank you, Lizzie.
It's this one. What do you think?
I think it won't be any trouble at all. Why are your eyes shut, Lizzie? Are you still afraid?
I was making up a jumping poem.
What's a jumping poem?
I jump rope to it. Doctor, Doctor, Jacoby, his old whiskers won't frighten me. What do you think?
You really want to know?
Yes.
I think I'll ask you to take your shoes off.
As operations go, it was not at all spectacular. A visiting doctor who came to witness the already famous Dr. Abraham Jacoby in action was quite disappointed.
Sure, that's a very minor operation.
You think so, sir?
For heaven's sake, what was it?
Major surgery.
Preposterous. All Dr. Jacoby did was to...
Operate on the soul of a human being.
Excuse me, doctor, that's nonsense. You can't operate on the human soul. There's no such thing. Never happened.
It happened now. And we both saw it. And I think because it happened now, it's going to happen again in the future. We saw a man named Jacoby remove the stone from a child's heart. Perhaps we saw something pretty wonderful in American medicine.
Her name was Lizzie Hyland. They had brought her to Bellevue in a horse-drawn ambulance. A little girl with convulsive limbs and a pale face and frightened eyes. Now she was ready to go home by herself. Her limbs controlled. Her cheeks no longer pale. Her eyes no longer frightened.
You're leaving me, Lizzie.
Yes, sir.
And what will you do for me?
I will shake your hand.
Very good. Where are you going, Lizzie?
Home.
Fine. Where's home?
New York City, in the state of New York, in the United States of America.
And you're a part of it all, Lizzie. Don't forget that. Now, give me a kiss on my scratchy old whiskers and run along. I've got work.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Eternal Light drama today, Lizzie and the Whiskers, was written by Morton Wishenbrad. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Cadams. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured as Lizzie was Joan Lazer, Norman Rose was the narrator, and Peter Capel was Dr. Jacoby. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. The 1949 Red Cross campaign is now underway. Remember the Red Cross and give generously. You can help through your Red Cross. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.